This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We got a lot to talk about today and some staples to the show. Tim Legler's Halloween visit is going to be in a half hour, and I feel like we need to include him in the post-game show as well. There's not a lot of room in the show today, but we should spend more time with Legler as we do every Halloween as he takes us around his house, because he's one of these crazy people. I defy anyone at ESPN to care more about Halloween than in the history of ESPN than Tim Legler does.
Legs.
So Tim Kirchen going to join us at 11 o'clock Eastern, and Chris Jericho has again advanced beyond Colin Cowherd, so he's going to be here.
What?
Yes, I don't think he won this week. I think he tied, but once again, a professional wrestler who knows next to nothing about football, but talks a good game. Is this now 4 weeks or 5 weeks? The record is 7 weeks with Carrot Top, correct? But I think Carrot Top ultimately was like 13-12-1 or something, because he never actually beat Cowherd. He just kept tying him.
Better to be lucky than good, Dan. I believe this is Jericho's fifth consecutive week. Now, I'm not certain if Jericho has a winning record, but he is back here for a fifth consecutive week. This is very exciting, man.
All right, so another thing that we need to talk about today, because we've got a number of things. And, Mike, I have asked Mike Schur to call into the show to simply vent about Tony La Russa, because he's a very kind man, a nice man. He wrote The Good Place. Like, he is a gentle soul, but he has lost his mind about Tony La Russa being hired at 76 years old, and he's just spitting poison all over the place. So let's see if he calls in with a drive-by. Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for the coronavirus, and very coldly, many of you aren't actually concerned with Trevor Lawrence's health. You're just concerned that that health be in place when they play against Notre Dame.
Correct. When did the symptoms start? That's what we need to know. And then 10 days from there, can he play in the game against Notre Dame? It doesn't seem like many people are concerned about Trevor Lawrence, his health. Maybe he affected his draft status. None of that. Will he be available for one of the games of the year this year in college football?
All right, so Trevor Lawrence is one of the guys who helped bring them back, and he helped bring them back without a lot of questions. ACC and the SEC didn't get enough questions about testing the way that the Big Ten did, the way the Pac-12 did.
Everything seems to be divided between state lines, because the ACC has a mandated 10-day quarantine from onset of having symptoms. I think it's been reported by Brett McMurphy and other reporters that he started feeling symptoms and the positive test came outside of that 10-day window, which means if he makes a recovery and gets a negative test necessary, he should be able to go against Notre Dame.
All right, but the structural integrity of the sport is at risk here, okay, with this particular player. A number of permutations on the field that we can talk about, because I do believe with polling, and this is such a weird season, that they could lose three games with him out and they'd still put him in the top four, because they do the math on this team did not lose for real reasons. This team lost because their quarterback wasn't out. And this is such a weird season,
right,
where we're just putting everybody in. We're going to have some teams play seven games, that I believe that the committee will believe that Clemson is still one of the best four teams if all they do is lose with Trevor Lawrence out.
I totally agree. If they lose a couple of games without Trevor Lawrence, they'll probably get in. But I'll remind you, it's Clemson, Dan. It's like Miami back in the day. They lose a quarterback, they replace the quarterback. They did it with Trevor Lawrence. They actually just did it a couple of years ago, where he replaced Kelly Bryant. And so I'm certain their freshman quarterback, whoever that is someone who's going to be really, really, really good. I don't know if he's good enough to beat Notre Dame, but he's going to be great.
Just to be the dissenting voice of reason, since you guys agree on this, there's no way in hell a three-loss Clemson gets in.
You know
in
what
playoff.
I mean. That's fine.
If they lose three games without Trevor Lawrence, you don't think the committee factors that in?
Stugatz, it doesn't matter. Two games, whatever. The structural integrity is at risk. That's fine. It's a fine objection by Mike, and maybe not. Maybe that's overstated. But you understand what I'm saying, which is the committee is going to take into consideration in a weird year if Clemson lost because their quarterback got the Rona. Like, they're going to take that into consideration, I got to think. Let's play some sound, though, here before we get to much of anything more. I want to get some Michael Wilbon sound, and I want to get some sound of, again, an enraged Tim Kirchen, because Stugatz, rarely rarely have I seen the kind of consensus when you have sports arguments that I am seeing as it regards the Tampa Bay Rays, the smartest team in baseball, according to Tim Kirkham.
Sure.
Did it wrong. And it's not just everybody playing the result. Now, the Wilbons of the world might be playing the result, but there are plenty of people who are applying analytics, and I'm not hearing a whole lot of people make the argument on the other side that Blake Snell should have come out, even as I hear them making the arguments. Hey, Blake Snell, second time through a lineup, third time through a lineup, fourth time to a lineup, he's an ordinary pitcher statistically. Even as they frame that argument, everyone saw how he was pitching that day. They saw that nobody was hitting the ball hard. They saw that there were 18 batters and he struck out 9 of them. They saw that Snell wanted to stay in the game and they want to rail against computers. So I'm startled, okay, by how much consensus there seems to be screaming at Kevin Cash for doing it the way that got them there. And doing it the way that he was doing it all season.
Doing it in a way that earned Blake Snell a Cy Young Award. I mean, that's exactly how they played it. I think Mike brought up it was Mike or Billy brought up the best point. I don't think the issue is taking out Blake Snell, although that is an issue. I think the issue is the reliever they went with who hasn't been good in the postseason.
Yeah, that was Billy's point. But that while he hasn't been good in the postseason, that is one of their best relievers. He's been really good for a long time. Regardless, before we hear Wilbon, because he's hang tough, he's famous for this, I just want you to hear the rage of Tim Kirkshen. Now, Tim Kirkshen is an evolved baseball creature. It's not just that he knows baseball. It's that over the years, he's done something that not a lot of guys do, which is he has reconsidered the way that he does the measurement in baseball. He is not someone who hangs on to things from the past. He applies all of the data and the numbers that are new age and is forever curious on this front. This is Tim Kirkshen urinating on baseball in a way that I have never heard him do.
I'm worried about our game. We have lost a feel for the game. We have stopped watching the games. In this postseason, relief pitchers threw more innings than our starting pitchers threw. We have lost the value of our starting pitchers. There is no way that a guy who faced 18 batters tonight, struck out 9 of them, had one hard hit ball, should be taken out. Nick Anderson is a great relief pitcher. He allowed one inherited run the whole season, but he allowed 3 in the postseason, and he set a major league record for most postseason appearances in a row, allowing a run. 7. He's not the same guy. We have stopped watching the game. And Kevin Cash is going to get killed for this, and rightfully so. But it's the front office of the Rays and the front office everywhere that has lost track of how the game should be played. I'm sorry. I give up. This is too much now.
So there you heard it. Tim Kirkshen calling for the murder of Kevin Cash. It's shocking. It's shocking sound to hear. Again, I want you to understand, Tim Kirkshen believes that the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, rightfully so, should be killed for this. And
seems a bit excessive.
Well, that's excessive. Listen to Wilbon, because I want to just hear Wilbon yammer and rail and get furious. Feel free to play that, Mike.
Wilbon, can you defend what Cash did?
No. And I don't want to hear anybody else try and defend it either, because some things are just indefensible, and this is one of them. Tony, I'm offended by what I saw last night. Just as somebody who grew up on baseball, whose first love in sport was baseball, who played baseball, who pitched, and it's just offensive. So numbers are so important to you, Kevin Cash, that you can't use your eyes, which are supposed to be professionally trained and steeled, and you've been a bench coach and a manager, you've done all these things, and you don't know when you need to leave a guy alone. You want to take the game away from the players, take the game away from a starting pitcher, who's lights out, who the other team is now not afraid of, but going, oh my God, they're shaking their heads. And you don't have this baseball sense in you to leave him alone and ride your good fortune to have this guy going this well. You're not playing lifetime achievement. You're playing the damn game tonight.
Right.
Use your eyes and your sense of everything. This is your livelihood. I don't care what he did last week. This guy has given up one hard hit ball, maybe a second hard hit ball. All right. So, yes, you got what you're saying, too, about bringing a guy in who's been lit up lately. I don't want to go that far. I don't care who he had going, warming up. You have got a guy on the mound that has the other people in the other dugout. And if you're a manager, the kind we know, you're watching them, too. And they are shaking their heads when they walk back to the plate to the dugout. He has stymied them. If you are not smart enough, if all you're doing is playing probability, Tony, then go work at the Wynn in Vegas. I don't want to see you near a baseball guy.
So I think you get it. Dan, you look incredible. So, guys, I can't quite put my finger on what you are.
Art Briles.
Don Levitard.
Find out 1 hour and 17 minutes from now why Ted Hendricks is called the Mad Stork.
Stugatz.
Kids will love petting the cows, cougars, donkeys, mules, ducks, birds, rattlesnakes, and everyone's favorite, alligator wrestling for the kids.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more today about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. College football news that broke last night. Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for COVID-19. He will miss Clemson's game versus Boston College tomorrow. He must quarantine for at least 10 days, putting his availability for the Tigers matchup at Notre Dame in jeopardy.
Breaking news is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
So I said earlier, and this is not surprising, that Tim Legler is early. This is his favorite day of the year, and I challenge anyone in the history of this network or any sports network that there's ever been to care more about Halloween than Tim Legler does, because I believe he cares more than anyone in the history of sports and sports coverage.
I agree with you. I will just tell you that every year I get this text from Jason Fitz saying that he cares more about it than Tim Legler. A little Halloween brawl in
okay,
ESPN.
Well, Fitz, you're an amateur, okay? And get out of here. Legler, look at Legler right now in
exactly.
The Zoom call on ESPN News, soon to be on ESPN Plus. Mike Ryan, is dressed lazily as Aaron Rodgers. Mike Ryan, not as lazily as Stugatz, who just took a mask from me that I had around.
Mark Briles.
But Tim Legler is dressed as I don't know what, but it frightened Mike Ryan. That's not Pinhead, right? I don't even know. Like
that
what...
looks like a Nosferatu ghoul from hell. Tim,
but he has Pinhead,
great.
Pinhead qualities. What are you going for? Describe to a radio audience Tim Legler. And thank you for being on with us and celebrating this day. We're going to keep him around for a while because we love him, especially today. Tell us what you're going for there, because you frightened Mike Ryan when you came into the Zoom.
I think actually the description that he just gave, the Nosferatu drag you to hell kind of guy, is what I'm really going for here. Hopefully I pulled it off.
Yes, you did. You look like somebody absolutely who would drag you to hell. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Does Tim Legler look like someone who would drag you to hell by the hair?
I feel like Legs takes Halloween so seriously. It's like a week for him. It's Halloween week.
I feel
like he's been in costume for a couple of days.
It's months.
It's a month.
It's very similar to Mardi Gras around here. It lasts about a month. And actually, it takes so much time to put everything up, we might leave it up till like mid-November.
Well, you've told us before, I think, that you get complaints that some of the neighbors don't like you so much because of how long you leave it up after Halloween, correct?
Yeah, most of the kids when we first moved into this development are now teenagers, so they're finally, you know, coming around and they're not terrified. But we definitely weren't very popular when we started doing this. I'm actually a little concerned, though, this year, guys. I'm worried because of obviously what's going on with COVID and whatnot. We don't – Halloween trick-or-treating is going on in our community, but I'm really curious to see what the turnout's going to be.
And I want to ask you a handful of questions here, because we usually take a tour of your home with a camera, and we can't really do that now because there's a lot different about 2020, obviously. And so I wanted to ask you, how has it already been different for you in terms of enthusiasm, or do you keep throwing out as many things as you always do? Are there always this many things in your house as well during Halloween? Because I don't think we've toured the inside of your house before. We've toured the outside.
It's a great question, and I'm going to be honest with you. I got to fess up. I had a hard time this year with everything going on, getting my enthusiasm ramped up. I probably got to about 60 to 70% of my normal outdoor stuff, probably about 50% of the indoor. Actually, last night I was down where we keep all this stuff, the inside stuff, in this storage area in the basement, and I couldn't believe how many boxes of stuff we didn't even get to. So I'll be honest, my enthusiasm was down. It's just been that kind of year, but I'm going to pick it up big time tonight and tomorrow night. And I know it's been tough on the kids. It's been a tough year for trick-or-treat age kids. I'm going to make it a lot tougher on them tomorrow night. That's my plan.
How are you going to do that, Legs?
You can't get close to him. You can't get close to him. You got to be 6 feet away, Legs.
Well, if I need to.
Oh, you've got a mask for him. Oh, wow. Okay, well, that changes everything.
Such a cautious ghoul. Yes. Also a ghoul with prescription eyewear.
Right, and if you're dragging kids to hell, I would think you wouldn't care so much about whether you get them sick on the way or not.
That's a great point. I was thinking, like, does this guy really care about social distancing, do you think?
Or rules.
And I don't think it's quite as scary when I come out of the bushes tomorrow night with a mask on. So, but if I just have it in case I'm being socially conscious, we also, instead of having the kids come all the way up to the door, and there's been years when I've sat there disguised as something looking like some sort of prop and then grab kids' arms when they reach into the bowl that's sitting on my lap. I'm not going to do that this year because of COVID. So we're going to have a table set up. We have a fortune teller with a Ouija board. And she's going to be working the Ouija board, and she's going to be sitting out there with the bowl of candy. The kids can just get the candy, and we'll be up on the porch, so we'll be a nice safe distance away.
I'm worried about that bowl. I'm going to ruin all of this for you by telling you to be careful how many kids put their hands in there.
We're doing this. We got separate bags.
Love
it. You can just grab the bag, boom, and then you can go. We
might lay these out. So you've thought of everything, Legler.
Excellent.
Again, though, Legler, I would think that you, your character on this particular day, would be happy about everything that's happening in America in 2020. And I would also think that you're being awfully careful for someone who should be sort of in charge of exactly what's happening in America right now. Like, you look like somebody who presides over death and sickness.
No, that's a great point. And actually, yes, that's this year, because of what's going on, I figure if you show up tomorrow night, that means you're one of those people, it's game on. You're ready for anything.
Yeah.
You've braved everything that's going on in society. You're coming out. You want to instill a joy, which is without question the greatest single day of the year. And if you come out, you're definitely ready for anything. So that's the way I'm approaching it.
All right. So Legler, stay right there here. We're going to try and weave between the TV audience and the radio audience by going on a tour of his house. We will have some B-roll of the things that he's put up this year, and he will do play-by-play, keeping in mind for the radio audience that they won't be able to see it. But we're going to do that next here. Can't have Tim Legler around enough here today. So we will keep him as long as he will be kept. Back with Tim Legler after this.
Don Lebatard.
I promised you Matt Barnes talk. I appear to have failed.
Stugatz.
I have no ethics, then.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Lebatard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
We'll get to Christine Lisi in a second, and also Tim Legler rules this day, rules this week, and dominates it. We'll get back to him in a second. But let me just go around the Zoom here for the radio audience, so we're not doing a television-only show, and ask people to explain their costumes in a way that the radio audience understands. So, Roy, what is it that you are today for Halloween on television? Frozen on the microphone.
That's amazing. Answer to the question. We're always fooled by whenever Roy's Zoom freezes because he's just generally frozen.
That's correct. Tony, what is your costume today? Tell the radio audience, please.
Dano, I'm glad you asked. Took the 5 to the 73 to be here today. It took me a very long time on the LA Expressway. As you know, I was able to stop and get a nice kale smoothie, though. I'm Hollywood George Sedano.
Oh, if wow. You can, okay. All right. So you're Hollywood Sedano. Excellent work. He's been copying you. Billy, it's self-evident. This is a costume. Tim Legler, do you look at Billy right now, and do you find that you've lost respect for Billy because he's wearing the same costume he wore next to you when he went to your house?
A little bit. I mean, it doesn't show that he put a whole lot of time and thought into it. You know what I mean? You can't just slap this stuff together. There's got to be some forethought that goes into it. So, yeah, I'd say a little bit.
Tim Legler's never done a duplicate outfit, correct?
Other than I pretty much at some point every year, I'll go Michael Myers. I have to do Michael Myers. That's my hero. It's Larry Bird and Michael Myers, my two favorite.
At some point.
Chris, I'm sorry, Billy, if you had anything to say there, to talk about freedom or bald eagles, have at it.
Well, you know, I'd love for you to say that to Steve Jobs. Don't wear the same outfit twice, Tim.
That's nice. I don't know that a lot of people know that Steve Jobs always wore the same thing.
And I'm not certain he could say it to Steve Jobs. I mean,
well, that's true. Well, today's a day for the undead, so perhaps. Right. Chris, what are you going for there? Okay, you're going for Frozen as well.
No, he's banging on himself. He's a trash can.
Oh, I'm a trash can. I'm in the Houston Astros dugout.
Got to win. There you go. Okay. A wooden spoon against a trash can.
It's a good costume. He's terribly uncomfortable. I'm sorry. Anyways, I'm bored. Mike Ryan is Aaron Rodgers because he looks like Aaron Rodgers. Stugatz is clearly George Clooney. Christine Lisi, please, I'm sorry. Forgive us for yammering and interrupting you.
And finally, the Mongolian death worm can grow up to 5 feet long and kill its prey with electric shocks from its eyes.
Wow.
What?
Okay, Christine.
It's Halloween. Come on.
Mongolian death worm?
Yes, we're sorry.
Like the murder hornets. It sounds made up.
I want to look it up.
Look it up. It's terrifying.
Christine, which is your favorite of the costumes here? Which one do you like best?
They're all great.
Oh, wow.
I do like the trash can because I think it's the poke of the Astros is funny.
Yes, it is. The Houston Astros.
I thought you were dressed like Roy Hibbert.
So, Tim Legler, let's go. Let's get television involved here. Let's have television. Are you ready, Tim Legler,
yes,
to go to television? Can you just tell us before the B-roll we're about to see, how much of it is of the insides of your house? Because I would be curious how much of this is inside your house, Halloween decoration.
I actually think most of what you have is going to be outside. It's going to be the outside props that we got working. And we have themes in our front yard, which is we have a clown theme. We have a spider theme, a witch theme, a murderer's theme, scarecrow theme. So we cemetery. So we set it up about six different sections of the front of our house. And I think a lot of it is going to be that stuff.
All right, so we've already started. Who's this guy with a chainsaw over his head? What's he doing? Is that wasn't you in a costume. That's some sort of thing made to look human, correct?
Correct, but my goal is, and it's a tough one to pull up, but my goal is going to be to try to replicate that because people drive by the house enough this month and they'll see that. They know it's a prop, but then if I can somehow replicate that, get that outfit, get a little burlap over my head, a chainsaw, not a real one. Well, maybe a real one. We'll see. And then he sits on the haystack, and when you come by, he picks up that you're there, and he lifts that chainsaw up above his head, ready to sever some young
people. He shakes it vigorously. Yeah. All right, television, put some B-roll up there so that Tim Legler can give us some play-by-play of whatever it is he wants.
Let's take a look. Well, I might be a little bit behind you guys. I'm not sure if I'm catching this.
The thing that we are seeing right now is we're seeing a lot of skeletons, things from the skeleton kingdom.
Yeah, we've got the graveyard out there. We actually had a very funny moment this year when we were unpacking everything. Because every year we take out the skeleton stuff, and invariably there will be bones missing, arms, ulnas, tibias, fibulas, those sorts of things. And we had one this year, and it, like, honest to goodness, just dead serious, my wife turns to me and goes, "Wait, I'm missing a leg." And it just made me fall over laughing because we had to go then search the boxes and try to find the one femur and tibia attached to one of the skeletons. Skeletons are the best thing because it's just made up of body parts. So we'll throw just random body parts, some other stuff that breaks every year into the graveyard.
Almost a Hollywood type budget from what I'm seeing. I saw a floating phantom head in some sort of container. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think, is that the one, the white, that's in
it? Yeah, it's a white ghoulish face.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a ghoulish face, and that thing is very sensitive. It's constantly talking. I think that one's inside, and it's just nonstop going off. My poor dogs, man. I mean, we have three dogs, and they honestly need to go see Cesar Millan just to get some psychological treatment from the terror that this month brings to them. They're just constantly terrified. I walked in out of the kitchen with this on. last night, and it's just to watch them back up and bark and just run under stuff. It's really kind of scary, but it only lasts a month.
This appears to be not year number one for the Scarecrow installation. What can you tell us about this year's Scarecrow?
Which Scarecrow? Oh, which one?
There's one with very sharp teeth. I know you're a fan of the Scarecrow. Year over year, it seems like a tentpole item.
The best one out there is Scarecrow with a pitchfork, a real pitchfork. And he stares across the street. And now the young boys that live across here are old enough now. They're not terrified anymore. But apparently they were terrified looking out their window because this Scarecrow with a light right in his face staring dead across the street with a giant pitchfork was a problem, apparently, when they were toddlers.
Has there been a lot of new stuff purchased this year? Or are you going with some of the favorites?
Not as much this year because, again, we just didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't know if they were even going to allow kids to come to the house. And that's really ultimately what it's about, is scaring the young ones. So, I mean, it's nice for people to drive by and think, oh, that house goes all out. But really, it's about Halloween night. And I just didn't know if they were even going to allow it. We just found out recently they are. So we kind of took a break this year from new purchases. But I've got some news. For next year, because one thing that this COVID shutdown has given me time to do, buy a lot of tools, do a lot of home projects. Now I've got every tool I need to build some homemade props, like some stuff that you won't see anywhere else. Nice. And that's our goal for next year.
Wow, incredible. Tim, you've shared with us that you're also a bargain hunter. You go often to these Halloween stores and just rake up all the deals after Halloween.
Seems like a good year to do that.
Yeah, what is the prize item, the chief bargain that you're most proud of in your yard?
Man, oh my goodness. Well, I would say probably some sort of a gnome or a ghoul that's guarding our one tree. We picked that up the day after we went and picked that up, and that was probably half price. Very pricey item. This stuff's not cheap. Now, Fitzy, you talked about Fitzy earlier. I know we have a little bit of a battle going. One thing I can say, I don't know what he's got, what he does to his house and how all in he goes. I'll know this. He is not more enthusiastic than I am. I will stake my career on that. Nobody is more enthusiastic about
this. He's certainly not spending what you're spending.
No.
So Halloween the next day, because things are much cheaper, are you going to make a killing? Are you this year intending to go make a killing already for next year?
Yes, definitely. And I missed out. I missed the boat. There's an item I have I'm looking at that I really desperately want. I didn't get it right away, and it was so popular, it sold out immediately by the time we went to get it. It's a skeleton that is probably about 15 feet tall.
Wow.
And it's just monster. Literally, the head of this thing will be looking in the windows of the second story of my house. It's that big, and it went like this. They didn't have that many. We couldn't find one. I have seen a couple in this part of New Jersey as we've been driving around, and I'm very envious. So I'm curious to see if I can pick up one of those after Halloween, if I can find one somewhere. I might have to go online.
Tim, I saw Good Morning America. What you're talking about is the most in-demand Halloween installation going, and it is super expensive. Kudos to you if you can find a deal on that.
No, cost is not an issue with us when it comes to this.
It is with Fitz.
Fitz,
okay, Fitz, you don't take this as seriously. You're an amateur. Fitz, you're an amateur. You're in the minor leagues, and you need to back off. Legler, we'll come back with you in a second here.
The cost of that skeleton,
yes.
Legs.
Get out of here, Fitz. Fitz, that skeleton is like 7 years of salary.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
Legs played in the league, man. The league pays better than this place.
I mean, Fitz has multiple Grammys, doesn't he not?
He does, yes.
We come back with Legler in a second, but first, HelloFresh.
Yep, fall is here, so now's your chance to start up something new and delicious. What's going on? I hear
it's some sort of mask.
Demonic clown.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
Don Levitard.
Behold! Pukey Sports Radio.
Stugatz.
Anything you want to throw at me, I got it covered. Fastball, got it covered. Curveball, I got you. Changeup, I got you. Slider outside of the plate,
got you covered. This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Jim Jones at Mr. Don't Play 23 reminds Dan, you've publicly said that you could be a baseball manager because all you need is the numbers. You're just as extreme as Wilbon, just the other end of the spectrum. I would like to see you, however, in a baseball manager's uniform.
I'd wear the suit. LaRusse is going to try to bring back the suit, I'm sure. He's from that age. We only have a couple of minutes here left with Tim Legler because he's begun sweating and is dehydrated because his costume is kind of ornate. What is your sweat situation right now, Tim?
It's pretty extreme right now. I'm not even going to front. It's pretty damp and moist in here.
Okay, so can you just come closer to the camera here and just I want people to see and hear about the details in your costume because I don't think people understand how meticulous it is you are about these things. So just explain to the radio audience, if you could, a little bit more what went into this this furnace that you're wearing right now that is overheating your BO.
I am so happy with this right now because it looks way better on even than I thought it was going to. This is legit. And listen, I want to say this too, guys. It's going to sound weird coming from me, but tomorrow night when you're out there trick-or-treating, be safe. Everybody be safe. I know that sounds strange coming from a guy that wants to drive in a helmet. I'm just everybody out there, be careful tomorrow night.
All right.
What are you going to do here? We are happy to have you for as long as you can handle that costume, but today and tomorrow and the whole weekend's a big time for you. So
I want to introduce you to my boy Phil. This guy's new too. He will be joining the clown section at some point tonight. We had some really bad weather the last couple of days, so I kept him inside so there's no damage done.
Nice.
But he's joining the family.
Tim, I want to ask you about a staple of the Legler Halloween. Usually you have an installation outside that you just stand still at, and then you give everybody a good old vintage jump scare. What's the situation now with social distancing? Where are you going to do this? Are you still going to do it?
Oh, I'm definitely going to do it. I guess big question is how close can you get? You know, that's the thing. So normally, I'll come right up behind. What I normally do, it's a two-man operation. My wife helps me out, so she'll be on the front porch usually with the candy, luring the kids up there, and then I will be at some other part around the side of the house or somewhere. And then literally sneak around very quietly and follow them up. And so when they get the candy and turn around, I'm standing there right behind them. That's the way it normally worked. Last year, I was by myself. She wasn't around, believe it or not. And I had to do this myself. It was much harder to pull off. But I'm back to normal operation this year. I even got a buddy coming over that's going to help me. So whoever does come out is going to hopefully get the scare of their life. But I'm trying to debate that. How close can I get? How close are people comfortable with a guy like this being? I'm guessing not very close at all.
All right. So
now within 6 feet.
Tim, please do me a favor, okay? If you have other things going on, it's okay. But we've got to get out on this segment. And I don't want to lose you, even though we've got Tim Kirkchen and Chris Jericho. So if you want to hang around or linger around or come in and out over the next hour, you are welcome to stay here for the remainder of our entire lives. I want you to give the eulogy at my funeral like that, and I will have died happy. Tim Kirkchen replaces Tim Legler next.